Hey everybody, welcome back to another Tuesday Tips, brought to you by Hunt Lift Eat Official. I'm here again, back again with the boys, Evan and Perry. We're on a Tuesday Tips tear this evening, this fine Sunday evening. So we're running it back. We're talking turkey, because these boys... These boys like talking turkey and chasing turkeys, and Evan thinks in turkey.
So Evan dreams about turkeys.
Evan, yeah.
Evan gobbles in his sleep.
I do. Apparently, I call turkeys in my sleep. It has been on the record of me doing that, according to my wife.
I believe it, dude. With how many you kill, how much you think about it.
Oh, man. Well, you want to jump into this one or what?
Yeah, dude. We're getting close. We're kind of in a lull, right? And that's all I can think about. Yeah. We're usually doing them like the week before it starts. So now let's give folks a little,
teaser
for the season gets here, you know? So yeah, lay it on me.
Sweet. Well, you know, I mean, just like you said, Carter, you can't start prepping soon enough. You know, like I'm not saying watching hunting shows is prep, but it does help get in the mindset. You know, like I've transitioned out of my morning ritual of coffee and deer hunting to morning ritual of coffee and turkey hunting, shows, but So my tip is not going to be maybe what you would expect. It's not going to be calling or gear or anything like that. It's going to be woodsmanship. So something I've learned in turkey hunting is you can be a very average caller. You can be a very average turkey expert, I guess, or it's not, if you're an expert, you wouldn't be average, but you don't have to know everything about turkeys. But if you know how to move in the woods, right? Like if you're a novice turkey hunter, or even if you've been doing it for a while, maybe you're not having the best success, kind of reset your mind and think back to like basic woodsmanship. Don't necessarily think turkey hunting. Think, how do I want to move through the woods and disturb the least amount of things? And the reason for that is there's a symbiotic relationship in nature, right? Like a lot of different things work together. You know, you frequently see deer and turkey in the same field. They use each other because they have different attributes. You know, one of a deer's primary senses are its nose and its ears, not its eyes. A turkey's primary sense is its eyes. And so they kind of use each other for that. If you have deer coming in when you're turkey hunting, do everything you can to not disturb those deer. You know, you might be thinking, oh, I'm turkey hunting, I don't care, but if these deer blow and run off. Don't think like that at all, because you can jack up your turkey hunt real quick. The other thing is moving through the woods. You know, if you're just traipsing through the woods, and there's a time to do that when you're turkey hunting, you know, if you're trying to head one off and, you know, get to where he's going, sure. But if you're, you know, if you're looking for birds, if you're trying to find that gobble, or you hear a gobble and you're trying to move in on it, like Your woodsmanship is in my opinion, is one of the most undervalued thing with turkey hunting. You know, I've turkey hunted with a few different people now, and like watching them cut across a field because it's the quickest route instead of walking the wood line or using cover or using IV lines or using micro terrain to cover, because their eyesight is so good. And if you know, let's say you're up on a ridge and a turkey's on an adjacent ridge and you can hear it gobbling and it's open hardwoods where he is, and you have to cross like an open valley to get to that ridge, and you just walk directly across it, that fucker can see you, man. And like then you're like, oh man, I got over here and he shut up. Well, the chances are he probably saw you walk across that valley and got out of there. So, or maybe he didn't even get out of the area, but he just stopped gobbling because he knew a predator was in the area. Right. So that woodsmanship can start getting you on the trail to being more successful in the turkey woods. You know, when you're in a deer stand, there's not a lot of woodsmanship. You're just sitting there. Now you have to be quiet. You have to listen. You have to do all that. But learning how to move in the woods and not disturb the other game that you're not pursuing is crucial. And then how to move in the woods to minimize your presence as much as possible has really expounded on my success. And the turkey was, it's worked dividends for me. So that's what I got, Mr. McKenzie.
No, it's true, man. And it adds another level too. When you're hunting solo is one thing, right? But then when you have a buddy with you, it's like a whole nother ball game, right? Even kind of, it's different than deer hunting. You have to take that almost to a different level when you're moving through the woods like that. Because it is, you're mobile, right? You got to be.
It reminds me of antelope hunting, Carter.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Like the landscape is completely different, right? The terrain, the vegetation, et cetera. The species is completely different. But there's a lot of similarities to me and my fairly limited experience turkey hunting and fairly limited experience antelope hunting between those two. Like Evan's saying, learn how to use the land to move, et cetera, being aware of their eyesight, because both those species have incredible eyesight. It's one reason, Evan, why I think you would love antelope hunting so much if you did it, because it's a lot of those same kind of aspects with, it's so active, but you really have to be intentional about how you do it. That's good stuff. And that's, I'm thinking back to a specific day last year, Evan, when you and I hunted all day together chasing that bird that I wound up killing.
I know exactly what you're about to say. We made a rookie mistake.
Yeah. We made a lot of mistakes. Some of them were rookie mistakes. Some of them were, I mean, that bird was, he whipped our ass for a while.
I want to throw out to the listeners, man. Like, this was the first turkey that has stumped me on multiple occasions. And I had a vendetta with this motherfucker. I was starting to get heated. So Perry said we made some mistakes. We did. We also did a lot right, and he just didn't cooperate. He was a tough bird. Yeah. Like, I've read stories. I've heard stories. About these hard toms to kill. He was a hard bird to kill. He was not one you were going to call in. Okay. Like you weren't going to yelp this bird in. It just wasn't going to happen. Anyway.
And so I had hunted this bird a couple of years. At least I'm fairly confident it's the same bird. I wouldn't bet my life on it because they're turkeys. They kind of all look the same to a point, but, we've had a couple of mature birds on the farm, and a couple years ago there was one that just seemed a little bit different. And never caught up with him 2 years ago. Saw him a lot last year. So anyway, Evan and I chased him around all day one day, and he just kept whipping our ass. And like I say, we tried every, I would say every kind of tried and true bread and butter turkey hunting tactic. We roosted him. Set out various decoy configurations, combinations, hens, jakes. A couple years ago, I'd set a strutter out, and he came in. But then, something wasn't right. Beeline.
I'm fooling this guy.
He was a mature bird. He'd been to the dance, and he just, like Evan said, you couldn't call him. Now, the funny thing about him was he would respond. So like this morning before I killed him, when Evan and I chased him all day around the property, we had roosted him and we crept in close. I mean, we got in there early and we were silent. We felt good about it. We got pretty close and caught him on the roost, and he responded and flew down and wound up ultimately going the exact opposite direction. I mean, the exact opposite direction.
It blew my mind, because I don't want to cut you off, Perry, but this bird, like he's not a silent bird. He's a very vocal bird. I mean, he would gobble like crazy. And I mean, when I would call, I would hit when he would pitch down, and I would, when he's in the tree, I'd give some soft tree yelps. He would hit right on top of him. He would pitch down. I would hit him with a cut sequence. Right, gobble right on top of him. And he wasn't just gobbling he was gobbling in response, but just would not come in.
Would not come. So this is all just background and storytelling to get to the ultimate tip, which is what we figured out is that we have to just get where this bird wants to go. Because we had so much history with this bird and we were seeing him so much, we noticed that across the property line, our neighbor, who is a cattle farmer, had been putting out hay. And regardless of where this bird roosted, because there were times he roosted on our property, he had a couple of different points that he liked. I'm sure occasionally he would roost on the neighbor's property. Regardless of where he roosted, at some point he would circle around in his kind of, daily rotation to this spot where our neighbor was putting out hay to feed his cattle. And he wasn't the only one. There were a lot of birds using this spot.
Because there's feed, there's worms and grubs and stuff there?
Exactly. Yeah. The cattle are getting in there and mucking it up. There's seed in the hay itself. They have, you know, they can easily access, like you say, the insects and the grubs and the dirt from where the cattle are dropping it. So, I mean, we've just noticed over the years, anywhere where Jason consistently puts out hay, the turkeys are gonna be in it. At some point, you know, they're gonna feed through there. They like that stuff. The gobblers, a lot of times they'll go down there and they'll strut if it's somewhere with good visibility, because they know the hens will be by at some point to feed and peck in the hay. And so, after attempting many strategies and trying to call this bird in and just him not cooperating, we just said, all right, screw it. We're just going to go to where he wants to go. And so that's my tip, is get to where the bird wants to be. A lot of times you have an idea of what these animals are searching for. And if you're playing a cat and mouse game and you can just put yourself where they are, even if you have to wait, and you know, it's kind of like chasing a buck in the rut. No, you find that good rut pinch point. You know, you may sit there for days, but at some point, you know that he's likely going to come through there cruising, checking for does. It was the same way with this Tom. So the next day, Evan and I, we went and set up. We got tucked into a real nice little spot, nice and concealed. We got in there early, not expecting him to come in early. Sure enough, he did not. We never called, set up the decoys, set out a Jake and a hen combination, hen layer and Jake above. And just waited, bit our time, and sure enough, he came in. We never called. The morning I killed that bird, we never called once. But he saw that Jake down there with the decoy. It was close to where the hay was, not right there, but close enough, right, to where he could see it. And he wound up coming in, trying to fight that Jake, and then I got a shot on him. So anyway. In situations, if you're struggling with turkey hunting or really whatever else, but you know, turkey hunting specifically for this, if you can find where the birds want to be, put yourself there, you got good odds.
It's a really good tip. I mean, it's if you do any amount of time listening to expert senior turkey hunters, it's one of the things they'll tell you. You know, if you're an average caller or a subpar caller, like get to where they want to be. And if you're hunting purely public, you might not have that luxury, right, to pattern a certain bird. You might just be out there targeting any bird you can get. But if you do have the luxury of hunting birds you can scout or, you know, you have history with, you know, knowing, or if you just know that area, if you can get where they want to be, man, you're going to be successful. And it definitely it's a proven concept, that's for sure.
Man, it's a fun as hell season.
Yeah. Dude, it was beautiful. I got some great footage of Perry killing him. He came in, he beat the hell out of him. I don't think we ever told that story on a podcast. I don't think we ever got to. He came in.
I watched that video 10 times. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I've probably watched it 110 times. He did not appreciate it.
We were both amped, man. It was a long culmination. It was a long time coming.
Yeah.
It was hilarious because Perry's wife said she had never seen him that excited to include their wedding day in the birth of his children.
I mean, a good day turkey hunt is hard to beat.
Oh, that was a great day turkey hunt. That was amazing.
There's a lot of bad days turkey hunt, man.
Yeah, the day sure before had been a bad day where he kicked our teeth in all damn day. And yeah, man, it's fun. I'm excited. It's right around the corner here.
It is.
Well, I sure would love to get up and hunt with you guys again this spring. That'd be great to make that happen.
You better, man.
Yeah, well, you know where it is. You know you're welcome.
It's true. That way.
I saw 5 longbeards yesterday when I was up there. I had to look at
them. Hell yeah.
That's exciting. Unrelated to anything, have y'all seen any sheds? Have your bucks started dropping yet?
They've started dropping. I did see, I actually meant to tell you this on the phone the other day, Perry. There were some deer and I glassed them and I could see one. It wasn't a big deer. It wasn't like a super mature deer, but you could see where it had dropped. So, I mean, they're definitely starting to drop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, we might have to get up there for some shed hunting and some turkey hunting.
Come on, brother.
We'll be good, boys. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Appreciate Absolutely. It as always, guys. Listeners, appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you next week.